Universe Media Network 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 Network
Hello, welcome to the STL REI Girls Podcast, recorded live today at Webster Groves Garden Cafe at 117 East Lockwood Avenue in Webster Groves, Missouri. I'm Sandra Holtmeyer.
I'm Melanie Claiborne.
And today we are here with Suzanne Hun. We're going to talk about her name change that's coming up with Faster Funds Lending. Suzanne is highly motivated and her passion is to serve the St. Louis community by helping people meet their dreams and goals. So we will hear from her in a minute. But Melanie, what's new with you?
Well, I know this is separate from real estate, but I found out I'm going to be a grandma of a baby boy.
Woohoo! Congratulations!
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's big news. I know, that's great.
No, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So July 7th is the date.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
of course, it's like a closing date. It might move.
Right. Well, that's a little hard to top, but I've had a pretty good week. I'm closing my third wholesale deal this week, so I've never closed three in a week, so I'm excited about that.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good
so
that's
fun
exciting.
Stuff. All right. Well, let's get started.
All right. Welcome, Suzanne Hun for now, and Luther very soon. So we're excited about your life change that's coming up. That's going to be awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, she squeezed us in, like, what, 3 days before your wedding?
Yep,
thank you very much.
Aw, thank you for being on the show and making time for us. Oh, my goodness. Well, we are excited to have you here, and Suzanne has actually funded, oh, my word, several of my deals throughout the last couple years, and some of Sandra's, too. So we're happy to have you here. We've dealt with you before, and it's always been a really great experience. So
thanks.
Let me give you kudos for your whole process and your company, and just everything has just been really good.
Great. We can't wait to hear more about that, but tell us a little about your personal life. I know you're getting married, but tell us about you.
So I am getting married in 3 days, and I live over in Waterloo, but do all my investing in the St. Louis market. So I started working for Faster Funds Lending. I actually got to help kind of start that business. So I've been doing that now for about 5 years.
Wow.
And have been watching it grow, and started off as a business of me part-time with me doing a bunch of other stuff on the side to now being a full-blown business with three other team members, and it's kind of my baby.
That's exciting.
Is really my passion and my focus.
I didn't realize it was only 5 years new.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah, I started. We funded our first loan actually in August of 2015. So it's not even five years old yet.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's great.
You guys have done a great job.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun to grow.
So we know you've been in the hard lending money industry for 5 years. That was the next question. So I wanted to know just what you think helped you to have such a great success. Because 5 years is not a long time to go from part-time doing a little here and there to full-time with three assistants. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. What was like a big catalyst for you?
I am a big proponent of, instead of like jumping in the deep end, start in the shallow end and just kind of build over time. I am a fan of just growing slowly but surely and putting in really strong processes and systems that mitigate your risk. Because obviously as an investor, there's a lot of risk you're taking on.
Yeah.
So when we started this business, it was about, okay, let's figure out what process works best for us. Let's figure out what our identity is as a hard money lender in St. Louis. Who are we going after? What's our ideal customer? How can we reduce our risk? And then once we kind of perfected what we were looking for, we just let it snowball. So we really focus on what we call our tribe. So our tribe is a group of repeat real estate investors that fit our ideal customer, and our goal is to just do business with the same people over and over and over and over again. So that's been what's kind of snowballed our business. So the first year we were in business, we did we had $1 million on the street. Then the next year we doubled it and had 2 million. Then we had 4, and then we had 6. And this year, we're hoping to end 2020 with 16 million on the street. So it just kind of,
it's exponentially growing.
Yeah. So we just, really focus on finding our ideal customer and then keeping them happy and keeping them around. And we found that when we treat our people right, they refer phenomenal people to us too. And we can start off by doing one deal with someone, and then a few years down the road, we're doing a handful with them all the time. So that's how we've really kind of propelled our business.
Excellent. That sounds great. So you put in the work in the beginning to build your system, and it was a system that could handle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were looking ahead then.
Yep.
That's excellent.
And we hire when we're ready too. So kind of always like paying attention to your business, and you know, the leader is always the limiting factor. So I know there's only so much time and capacity I have. So, and there's things I'm better at and I'm not so good at. So kind of identifying those holes and weaknesses in myself and putting the right people in, to kind of make the puzzle complete so we can grow and expand has been really important to us too.
Excellent. Wonderful.
That's a true skill. A lot of people don't have that knack and they just struggle and struggle. So that's good that you've identified that and actively worked towards making that happen.
Yeah, it's super crucial to do that if you want to scale your business anyway.
Great. So, Suzanne, what appealed to you most about the hard money? Like, really, what kind of helped you get started and what made you want to do this?
So before I started Faster Funds Lending, I was actually working at the University of Iowa and managed a bunch of apartment complexes that students lived in and had like a student staff. And I felt like I wasn't able to truly make a difference in my community. I felt like I served a purpose to my like student staff, but I didn't feel like I could make the impact I wanted to make there. So when I started Faster Funds, I wasn't honestly sure if that was what I wanted to focus in. So I did a little bit in helping out our company's property management team, and then I did a little bit in contract to close for our flipping business. So I kind of got like a broad real estate investing education. But what really appealed to me about the lending aspect is I'm able to work with people who have this dream of rehabbing and reselling houses or building up a rental portfolio, and they have the right skill set, they have the right knowledge, they have some money in the bank, they just need that push. And I have just loved watching all of our borrowers like start to take actionable steps to meeting those goals. And now that we've been doing this for almost 5 years, I can see some of their dreams becoming a reality.
That's great.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And that's been what's been really appealing to me. And like the wide ability that as a lender I have to help the whole St. Louis community, mm-hmm. because I'm lending to super quality rehabbers and landlords. So they're taking that dumpy house on the street and they're turning it into something amazing. And they're just, you know, by one house and one loan at a time, we're making St. Louis just a better place and seeing
that
impact.
Mm-hmm. I do too. Yeah.
I think that that's part of the good thing about what I do too, is you can take a house that's been neglected and looks terrible and turn it into this darling little cottage or take a bigger house and make it gorgeous. So
make a great home for someone and the neighbors appreciate it. You know, a lot of times it's vacant or it's just been dilapidated. It was a worse house on the street and they're so glad someone finally came along and it improves their property values too.
That one thing can just have this massive impact. And
it's like a ripple effect.
Yep.
It's really good. I love it. Yeah. I love being a part of that.
Yep, me too.
So going on from there, since we're part of this re-imaging St. Louis, making everything beautiful. Let's go back to when you first started. I think you probably had a good support team or encouragement from your family and from your the people you were working with already in the flip business and everything like that. So that the question is, what kind of support did you have, and how did that help you and propel you?
Yeah, I had a lot of family support. Obviously, it takes a little bit of family support when you have like a total career change. But I've always been told my whole life, if you're going to a job because it's just a job, you need to find something else. So you should find something that you love. And my stepdad has always told me that going to work for him is like playing a game of Monopoly. He never feels like it's work. It's like a game and it's fun to him. And so that's what I've always been searching for. And I feel like when I, you know, started with Faster Funds Lending, it kind of clicked like, I don't know, 6 months or a year in. And I was like, whoa, this is it. This is like my passion. This is what I'm meant to do. And my family could all see that, and my coworkers could all see that. And I think it also helps that I'm within an organization of a family of companies. So lending is just one of our five branches.
Right.
And we have created a really awesome leadership team for our family of businesses. So all of us as leaders are able to support each other and build each other up. And then I'm also in a nationwide mastermind that has also really helped push me and support me, especially as we continue to grow, to kind of help me just continue to be a better version of myself to
right.
keep propelling our business
and see
forward.
That next step, whatever that next step would be, mm-hmm. see it before you get there.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
I love masterminds. I'm in one too, and it's really nice when everybody can speak into your business and show you, well, here's the next step to go to, or this is what I did, it didn't work, and you might want to tweak it this way. It's just so nice to have that that support.
Yep.
So for people listening, for other women listening, that's why I asked that question, is because getting support around you is highly critical. It's really good to have it. And if you don't have like a mastermind, you can always speak with people at the RIAs. You can always, find someone who you can ask questions. And for me, in my experience, when I started into the business, everyone in the real estate investment world was so kind, and they would share. And they would, I had people share letters and postcards that they were using, and I was just like amazed at how open the whole investment industry is and how wonderful and supportive they are. So for people who are listening and not quite into the business yet, you will get support, and you'll find someone who can answer questions and eventually find yourself a mentor or a coach or a group. And that's the way to grow.
Yeah,
I think that's critical. It's wonderful you had family support. Not everyone has that. So sometimes you have to surround yourself with other people that will support you, and a coach or a mentor and a mastermind. Those are all wonderful things. And from my career, former career, I didn't get that kind of support. It was, every man, woman for themselves. Everybody was competing with each other. You didn't share any insider secrets or successes unless you were forced to. So it's so different in real estate. So I agree. Yeah, ladies, just reach out and ask and participate. There's so many great groups around town. There is way more support than you'll ever realize.
Ever need.
I mean, it's endless, and everyone is very generous with their time.
Yeah. So I actually was looking for other females who were in the real estate investment industry. I don't know, it's probably been now like 2 or 3 years ago, and I wasn't finding that. And so I just created my own group, and we just very informally met once a month at the Bread Co. off Mid Rivers, like one night, once a month. And it was, it didn't cost anything. And we just showed up and just kind of swapped stories and supported each other. And to me, that was huge, to just kind of show that there are other females in this industry. And it's nice just to be around like-minded people who are doing what you're trying to do too.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point. Don't be shy. Reach out and create your own group. Melanie and I are in a small accountability group. It's like having a workout partner. Sometimes you just need someone to help push you and hold you accountable, and you have a deadline to meet, and I have to meet with this person, let them know what I'm working on. So, that's great that you did that on your own. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of your deals. I think people love to hear about deals. So tell us about your first deal and how it went.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it was private lending, or hard lending, but what was your first deal?
So I have my first loan deal, and then I have my first rehab deal. So my first rehab deal, that was probably my first deal, because when I moved back from Iowa City back to St. Louis, I had to move in with my parents, which is not the most fun thing to do when you've been on your own for a while. So I had a wholesaler bring me a house over in Kirkwood. It was a little 2-bed, 1-bath house. And I decided I was going to rehab it because I thought if I'm going to be any type of real lender, I need to know what I'm talking about. So my family came over and helped me demo it, and we filled like a 40-foot dumpster with like
that's always fun.
with like all this stuff in the basement and from the demo, and then I just worked through that whole process. I think I picked probably a more difficult municipality to deal with for inspections. But it was such a great learning experience, and then I was able to live in that house for a while I got my real estate license and all of that, and then I was able to list it. So I was able to see the whole deal all the way through and have a place outside of my parents' house to live at, which was awesome. So a lot of big learning things. I learned how to like manage contractors, figuring out the timing of things, deal with inspections, different municipality requirements, and things like that. But then my first loan that we did, it was actually not at all within our wheelhouse of what we thought we were going to do for lending. We had a guy call us who had like a massive house over in St. Charles County. And he was getting ready to lose his house at the tax sale. And our flipping company didn't want to buy this big of a property. But he said he had a rental that he owned free and clear over in St. Peter's. So we actually did like a refi for him so he could take that money to pay his taxes off, so his big personal house didn't go to the tax sale. And then he ended up paying us off down the road. So it wasn't what we thought we were going to do when we first started. And we don't really do that. This was the only time we did that, but it kind of was like the perfect loan that fell into our lap as we were trying to figure out the process.
It's great you could help somebody like that, get creative, and it was a win for everybody. You guys made money on the loan and helped him out. And
he was super grateful, and it all worked out at the time, so it was fun to do something
different.
That's a
success. Yeah. It's nice to use your creativity and do something good for someone. You've had a lot of success in the last few years. If you can remember back to maybe one successful venture, whether it was a rehab. We forgot to tell people you also rehab houses.
Yep.
Whether it was a rehab or a private loan or whatever. The first big success that made you really feel like, all right, this is it. I can do this.
That is an excellent question. Let me think.
Or maybe it wasn't a deal. Maybe it was just an event you were at and you had the epiphany or the mind shift that said, yes, I can do this. I'm not like new anymore. I'm now,
Yeah. I feel like when I felt like, oh, I actually kind of know what I'm talking about. Because for the first, I don't know, year, I kind of just winged it. You know,
we all do. We all feel like we're fakes, right? In the very beginning.
Yeah. We used to talk a lot about like imposter syndrome when I was in grad school. And so I feel like I felt that a lot in the beginning. And especially because I relied on my team. Because now I'm able to vet my own loans. Unless it's something weird, you know, I pretty much know if it's good or if it's not going to work.
Right.
But back in the day, I used to have Brian, who works with me, he'd walk through every house and he would tell me, you know, he made the decision if we were going to do the loan or not. And I remember one day I was sitting in his office, and he told me, "Suzanne, I think you got this. I don't need to go on this appointment with you." I was like, "What do you mean?" And I remember it felt like my training wheels were coming off.
Yeah.
Because I was just so used to hopping in the car with Brian, and we'd drive around, and we'd look at the loan request, and you know, he just started telling me why he was making decisions, and then he started getting my input. But when I started walking houses by myself without Brian, that was like a big moment of, okay, I've got this. And more importantly, I was like, it meant that Brian trusted me to not do a bad loan, and that he could see that I had the knowledge that I didn't know I had at the time to tell borrowers, like, yes, you're going to succeed with this, or no, you're not. I have these concerns.
Right. Okay.
So that was like my big moment.
That's great. Yeah.
That's great. It's exciting.
Love the training wheels analogy.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting and scary at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So that's when you know, like, you're outside your comfort zone, when you're excited and you're scared.
Yes. But you have to trust that you have the knowledge.
Right.
You just need to use it and pay attention.
And fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Suzanne, what's your favorite type of real estate investing deal? You obviously do several different things. What's your favorite one?
Well, for me, I love to be the lender. I think my favorite types of loans that we do are probably the rental loans. I don't get me wrong. I love the fix and flip loans. The before and afters of the fix and flips are one of my favorite parts. But to me, I'm a big believer in having financial freedom. And I love when my borrowers start to gain financial freedom by building up their rental portfolios. That's just been something that's really cool for me to see. And since we don't have a prepayment penalty on our loans, if our borrowers are working with certain local bankers, they can pay those off quicker and start maximizing their cash flow and can scale really quick. And I just think that is really cool and really powerful to see. Like, some of these borrowers I started working with 4 years ago, and they've developed these massive rental portfolios that have crazy amounts of equity, because especially if you were investing 4 or 5 years ago, the market wasn't as recovered as it is now. So people were still buying super deep. And I have a couple borrowers who are also friends, and we work together. And they now have, like, I think it's like $1.5 million in equity in their rental portfolio they started 5 years ago.
That's
is like
amazing.
Crazy powerful
that
to
is.
Think about. So I love the power of using the Burr method and what that can do for people's lives and their retirement plans and all of that.
Awesome. Awesome. So we did talk about your previous experience. You were working with students or doing some of that stuff. And just for people listening that are new and wanting to jump into real estate, how does your previous experience, because we all have that prior knowledge, that previous experience that we bring into real estate, how did some of those things that you already knew, like, how were they an asset for you?
Mm-hmm. Like your prior skill set, how are you applying that?
So I definitely had a lot of leadership skills. I had been managing student staff, so I hadn't managed full-blown adults before, but I had a lot of leadership skills working with students. And working in higher education, you can work with students who are going through very challenging situations, and you have to be able to empathize with them and see their perspective, but also you need to be able to kind of guide them to help them make the right decision, or maybe change their course if they are willing to listen to you. And I think that at first I didn't think any of that would be relatable at all when I started lending, but it definitely helped me be able to kind of lead and manage a team. And I feel like it's really helped me interact with a lot of borrowers just to be able to kind of hear their stories and understand what they're wanting and help give them guidance without making it seem like I know everything and I'm telling them what they have to do.
So you more like of a collaborator.
A counselor, collaboration.
Yeah. So I feel like I was able to bring a lot of my people skills I had to the table and use that to help. And it helped me grow, I feel like, our borrower network, too, because I was able just to connect and relate to people. And that's really important in this business. We're definitely in the people industry.
The people industry, the trust industry.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite questions, actually. I'm continually amazed by everybody's varied backgrounds, and I didn't know you did that before, but we're all bringing skill sets. That's one of the things I try to help empower women with what we're doing here is you're bringing different skills. We all have different skills and backgrounds, but it's amazing how much relates to what we're doing in real estate.
Yeah, and if you had asked me when I first started, I would not have said any of that. So sometimes it takes a little bit of hindsight to see, but looking back, I'm like, oh, I feel like that helped me exponentially in this. I didn't have finance background or construction background, but I had other stuff that helped.
The people skills on the soft side. Yeah, that's great. Wow.
Yeah,
I love that.
Listening to this, you can take away that you don't have to have all the skill sets that everybody else already has. You can start out with just a few and build the others as you go.
Yeah, and there's so much knowledge out there. I mean, gosh, the internet, YouTube, the podcasts that are going on right now. I mean, you can sit at home and there's just such high quality content that didn't even exist 5 years ago like it does now, where people can learn so much just from the comfort of their own home. But then it's, are they willing to take the next step to move forward and take action on what they're learning?
Okay, well, now we're going to have a quick word about our sponsor, Longhorn Investments. Longhorn Investments LLC is a direct private lender offering short-term acquisition and renovation capital to real estate investors for both residential and commercial assets. Highlights of Longhorn's loan program include up to 75% of ARV, finance of up to 100% of cost, closing in 3 to 5 days, and no income requirements, along with streamlined, simple approval process and no prepayment penalty. Formed in 2008, Longhorn Investments has funded over 4,000 loans since its inception. Longhorn's complementary business includes a title company and real estate law practice operating out of their corporate office. Longhorn's wealth of experience puts them in the unique position of being able to help investors through all aspects of each transaction. To get started with Longhorn Investments now, call and speak to super nice guy Lawrence Hopkins at 314-749-7616, 314-749-7616, or visit Longhorn Investments at longhorninvestments.com. Longhorn Investments, hard money lending simplified. Okay, and we're back.
All right. We're here with Suzanne, and we were talking to her about her business and her investing business and how she got started, 5 years ago. I have another question for you, Suzanne, and this is something that is kind of funny, so I don't mind if you poke fun at it. So here it is. You ready?
Yep.
Was there ever a time you thought about quitting the real estate industry?
Okay, so to be 100% truthful, no, which is probably contrary to what most people say, but I feel like searched for a while to figure out where I belonged. And I don't know how to describe it, but when I started back in July of 2015, I felt like I was at home.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I've never stopped. I've never thought about quitting or leaving. Sometimes I think, do I want to keep growing? Like, oh, as you grow, there's definitely a little more headache that comes. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like what we're doing is so powerful. It's just been so amazing to see the impact that we've had that wouldn't change anything.
Awesome. That's a great answer. And that's a super confident place to come from, too. So that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks.
When I started out, I thought about quitting every other day. But I just kept saying, give myself time, you know, give it time. And I did fall in love with the whole process and learning the different scenarios and the different steps. I was just telling Sandra earlier before we started the podcast that there's a first time on almost every project. Excuse me, I'm stuttering. But it's like, this is a first that never happened to me before. And it happens on almost project. It's
all
like
the time.
Crazy.
Always learning.
So it takes years to build up the experience. But hey, we're all growing.
Yeah. I had something new come up on Monday that I had never dealt with before. So it happens all the time. Yes. I'm always like, oh, what do we do? Okay.
Yeah. And you learn from all of those.
Yep.
So that's a perfect segue into my next question. In your business, what is the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome and what did you learn from it?
I think the biggest hurdle, it's growth, because we are in such intentional growth mode. I can always feel when we like hit our ceiling. Mm-hmm. Like I always start to get really bogged down. I'm working crazy hours. I feel like this exhaustion. When this first happened, when it was just kind of me and Brian doing our thing, Brian sat me down and he had me draw out this quadrant. And in the top left corner, it's what do you love and what are you good at? In the top right, it was what do you love and are not good at? And then bottom right or bottom left was what do you hate but you're good at? And then the last one was what do you hate and you're not good at? So I was able to like strategically figure out what was the job that I needed to replace. And once I did that, and once I got over my fear of hiring someone and training someone else to and let go of some of that control that I like to have, it just helped us immensely. And so I've used that same practice every time.
That's great.
We've created a new position and hired a new team member. But growth is a good thing, but you just always feels a little intimidating.
Doesn't it?
Kind of in the moment.
Yeah. You feel like you're back on the top of that cliff and about to jump again. Like you did the very first time, right?
Yep.
That's how I feel too. Every time I like I hired an assistant and I've hired I haven't hired, but he gets paid out of the properties that come in acquisition.
Yep.
So yeah, I felt the same way both times. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Now I'm at the edge of the cliff again. It's time to jump.
Yeah. Letting go of that control is always like hard for me because I'm a little type A. So, but it's always good to do.
Yes, it is. And so then after you do that, do you feel that overwhelm feeling kind of go away?
Yeah, it's like all this pressure that's like you've been carrying on your shoulders. As soon as that person is trained, even like honestly before they're fully trained, just once they can start taking one piece off of your plate, you just feel like this massive weight has been lifted off and you can like breathe again. And I feel like then you can go back to like working on your business and not having your blinders on and only working in your business all the time. If you're going to grow any type of business, you have to be able to work on your business and not just be in the weeds 24/7.
Yes, yes.
I'm sitting here agreeing with her, nodding my head profusely, and no one can hear me nodding my head, but you are so right. Yeah. I know.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
I like that quadrant. I think I'm going to use it too.
Yeah. I think as women, especially moms and wives, we tend to try to do everything and think everyone expects everything of us. And we can't do it all and be successful business people. I mean, look at the most successful business people in the world. They can't run
every aspect.
They narrow
their focus.
Can be the leader, but you can't man every part of the ship and steer it at the same time. So that's great.
So what was your worst client-related experience and how did you resolve it?
Come on, give us the dirt. No names.
So
there's always lines there.
I used to pride myself on the fact that we had been in business for over 4 years, and I had never taken back a house. I used to like tote that around, and it's largely due to our underwriting. We do underwriting as a hard money lender because we want all our borrowers to succeed. We are not in the business of taking back houses. I feel like I have failed if I am taking back a house. But anyways, inevitably, that time had to happen. And, this is painful. It's still a little fresh. So, last spring, I funded a loan over in Florissant. And borrower was a contractor, didn't have a lot of cash reserves, but I overlooked that because he had the contractor skill set. And honestly, I truly believed walking in that house, he knew exactly what he was talking about. He had a real estate agent with him who grew up nearby and knew that area super well, and encouraged me to kind of stretch my ARV a little bit so I could lend the borrower a little more than I normally would. And anyways, I let myself, I know better, but I let myself kind of get peer pressured and listen to the agent and the borrower and lent more than I should have on it. And then the borrower went in and gutted the house. And I didn't have great processes in place for construction dispersing. So I didn't realize the dispersing company was dispersing on materials that were on site but not installed. So the borrower had used all of their construction disbursement funds to purchase all the materials, gutted the house, then was running out of money and couldn't make payments, stopped calling me. Finally, he called me back, showed up with a payment to get all caught up and told me, Suzanne, I've got this, I can do this, and I'm going to do the plumbing all on my own. And I was like, you can't do that in Florissant. And anyways, long story short, he ended up doing the plumbing by himself. It wasn't done correctly. It wasn't permitted. He again ran out of money, and I had to take back a property that, I spent like a long time coaching this guy. Like, I was doing everything I could in my toolbox to like motivate him to get stuff done. And because I wanted him to succeed. I mean, he has a family. He put time into this property. Anyways, I think I realized that there's only so much coaching you can do, but you can't do the hard work for someone. So we ended up having to, we ended up just doing a short sale on that property. And we took a very substantial loss on it. And it was our first loss and our first house we had to take back. And it definitely put a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, but now that we've been out of that situation for a couple months, I'm able to kind of see like, oh, this is why we like hound people to have cash reserves, because you're not going to be successful in this business if you don't have cash reserves. Right. If you have no money, go wholesale and make money before you rehab or try to build a rental portfolio, because you do need cash. And we've gotten better processes around construction dispersing so that now materials aren't dispersed on until they're installed. And we have now an inspector. I used to go and inspect all our houses once a month, but as we've grown, that's not realistic. So we also hired a guy who part-time goes and checks on all our houses once a month so I can make sure progress is being made, because the biggest mistake you can make, or one of them, is if you're trying to do a fix and flip and you don't have a lot of cash and you're taking your sweet time getting a project done, you're much more successful and you make a lot more money when you pay us less money. So I don't have that prepayment penalty because I want to see a rehabber get in and get out quickly, because right. That's how you make way more money. I should not make the same profit that you make.
Yeah, oh, no. Really. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, those holding costs can just eat you alive.
Yeah, So just be ready to commit when you buy a house and just get it done. And
get in and get out.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Don't dilly-dally.
Yeah, stacking your contractors is really, really is what I like to do, so that I have the painter knows he's going to be done, and then the flooring guy's coming in, and he better be done. You know, and right. So it puts a little more pressure on them to make my project a priority to get that done within that time frame. Plus the contract too. You can always put things in the contract to make them stay on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody needs a deadline. So how does your fiance, soon to be husband, feel about you being an entrepreneur and a real estate investor?
He's definitely my biggest supporter. I don't think he totally knows
good
what
answer.
I do. he's also an entrepreneur of sorts. He is a farmer, so he has his own farming business that he is actively growing. So we're in two very different businesses, but there's a lot of similarities, and we both love learning about each other's businesses and supporting. Like, he is pretty introverted, but he will like show up to any speaking event that I'm at that he can, just to like stand in the back and support me and listen to me.
That's awesome.
Or like let me ramble on as I walk through the house practicing whatever, or just kind of listen as I talk through a problem. And then on the flip side, I get to like support him when he's really busy with spring planting that's coming up or fall harvest, and just kind of ride around in the tractor with him and see what he's doing and what his struggles are. So, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great.
And so I imagine as you grow together and you're together more, you'll see more correlations to the planting. And you'll have more good examples to bring into real estate.
Good parallel. When you're talking.
That's right. It's not a quick business. You plant the seed and then you have to let it grow and nurture it. Right.
Yeah.
And you have to fall in love with the process.
Yeah.
You can't just want that check at the end. You have to like the process or you're not going to make it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You have to put in the hard work and commit to it. And you can't just like try to do something and close your eyes and wake up the next morning and think you'll have a whole field of corn pop up for you. So
I know, right?
And yes,
we all would like that.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. So financially, if you can think maybe back, what was a deal that, I don't know, I was watching a podcast show and the guy was holding, the commercial comes on, you know, because I don't have the non-commercial YouTube. Mm. So the commercial comes on, he's got this wad of money. It's like, this is $60,000 and this is what you'll make if you do my program or whatever. So I'm just wondering, was there a time when you closed a deal and you were like just on top of the world? You know, closing day is also always a good day, right?
Yep.
Even if you don't make a whole lot or you even... you know, get close to your goals. But when you go over your goal, closing day is like fantastic day. So did you have one of those that you can tell us about?
Yeah. So last fall, so like August of 2019, Brian and I had set this goal, you know, back when I started at that time 4 years ago, that we wanted to get to $16 million on the street. And for us, like kind of like a halfway goal was that $10 million mark. That was a really big number for us to hit. It was in August of last year that we hit that $10 million on the street. And I remember the day we had that closing that took us over that $10 million mark. I have a hard time kind of celebrating in the moment. I'm not the best at kudos to my team or anything like that. But Brian walked in we do these level 10 weekly meetings with my team, and he walked in and like cheered and like celebrated and kind of like did this little rah-rah speech. And then he planned this whole surprise day for the lending team to get a massage and go to the wineries. And anyways,
that's amazing.
It was cool to just like have this moment as a leader and also as a team to be like, holy cow, we hit this massive goal that was just like
seemed
a dream
impossible
back, you know, in the day. And I think taking time to celebrate those wins, that wasn't, you know, for most people, it's probably going to be like you closed on a rehab you did and had like a $35,000 profit, or, you know, maybe you got to your 10 rentals that you wanted. So it might be different, but for whenever you hit those milestones, celebrating them can be really powerful. And celebrating for me with like our team, just to be like, holy cow, like we did it. And it's because we have, at that time there were just three of us, because we have the three of us here supporting each other and building this up. It was a really powerful moment.
And it's a day you won't forget, right?
Yeah. She's got this huge smile on her face the whole time she's talking about this. That's great. You're just beaming. That's neat.
That's awesome. Yep. We all need to do that. We all need to stop and look back down the mountain.
Yep.
Instead of continuing to look up it, because we'll always be looking up. We're always setting the bar higher, aren't we? We're just like that, right?
Yep.
We just keep setting the bar higher.
That's why you have to. Who would have thought when you had 1 million, you'd get 10. So you had to have that goal or you would have never hit it.
Yep. And I'm a high achiever. So I like to achieve and I like to keep achieving and checking things off my list. But when you hit those big things, take a minute, because, gosh, that's so powerful.
It is. And it gives you time to be grateful. Mm-hmm. It gives you time to foster that in your life, too.
Yep.
I love that. I think it's a great theme.
Well, that alone would be great to end on, but we have one final question for you. So what advice would you give anyone starting out in this profession, real estate investing or any aspect that you're in?
Yeah, I think take time to network, talk to people, and figure out what you want your niche to be. The people who are, in my opinion, who are not successful are people who try to wholesale, buy rentals, and rehab all at once as they're getting started.
Thank you.
Figure out that one thing that kind of lights a fire under you and just take time to like learn, make sure you're going to local real estate investment clubs, make sure you're talking to people, never hesitate to ask someone to grab a cup of coffee or lunch with you so you can kind of, you know, suck some knowledge out of them for an hour.
Yeah.
And then just start taking actionable steps to hone in on that niche you want to focus on. And then it's okay to like look at shiny objects and be like, okay, now that I've got this going, I also want to slowly try this. But don't try to do it all at once. Take little steps. Find the one thing that you want to focus on first and be excellent at it. And that's, I feel like, how you can really succeed in this business.
I love that. That's great advice. And I really like what you said about actionable steps. I think a lot of people keep studying, yes, going to meetings, watching, and they don't take action. So you've got to take action.
Yep. Take that's action. Great. And have cash reserves. I know I'm a lender, but I have cash reserves. Please have cash reserves. Yeah. You'll do so much better in this business if you have cash reserves.
Yeah. Especially when you jump off that cliff and you go out full time. You gotta have some reserves.
Yep.
Perfect.
Well, tell us how our listeners can contact you, Suzanne.
Yeah. So if you would like to learn more about our hard money lending program, our program is called Faster Funds Lending. You can like us on Facebook. We have a website, fasterfundslending.com. And then you can always call our office. We have a whole team of awesome people ready and willing and able to help you out. Our office number is 636-223-4262, and we'd love to see if there's a way we can connect and help you out and help you grow your real estate investing business.
Awesome. Well, before we go, Suzanne, we have one final question. What is the one thing you love most about St. Louis and doing business in St. Louis?
I think I love all the variety that we have. I mean, we have like this downtown area, but then you can drive 30 minutes and be like in the middle of nowhere.
Farm country.
Yeah. And we have a variety of price ranges. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool because as an investor, you can figure out what price range you can afford and where you want to be at. And you can be all into a house for $50,000 or you can be all into a house for $750,000. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of different real estate investing opportunities within the St. Louis area, and it's all within an hour, which is really, really unique and really cool.
Yes. Great city to be in. Great market, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Suzanne, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here, and on such a busy week, you're getting married.
I know.
In 3 days and everything. So.
You're so gracious. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed today's show.
Do us a favor and visit the sponsors who help make this show happen.
To contact me, Melanie Claiborne, for services or properties, contact me at 314-707-9122. And my email is melanie@stlouissolutionsfirm.com.
And I'm Sandra Holtmeyer. To contact me if you're buying or selling properties, my number is 636-856-3358. I'm also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. Yes. So
today's show was engineered, mixed, and produced by Antonio Holman, publisher of St. Louis Real Estate Investor Magazine.
Antonio's awesome. Thank you, Antonio. And our theme song is Escaped by the Diviners featuring Rossi.
If you'd like to find more content like this, visit stlreimag.com. That's stlreimag.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.